الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In this ayat kareema, where Allah has said كتب عليكم الصيام, that fasting has been made compulsory upon you. Ulama have written, on every part of the body also fasting has been made compulsory. But before that, with regard to our postures, one thing that we had missed upon is that when we are in sajda, then our fingers should be facing towards the qibla, and they should be all together. Yes, still many of us, we seem to not remember this, or we don't pay attention. The fingers should be close together and facing towards qibla. And the thumb nails should be in line with the lobe of the ear. And one thing which we had forgotten to mention is that the forearm should not rest on the ground. The forearm should be lifted up. And if we are making a namaz which is not with jamaat, on our own, and there is space, we have got space, then we should spread our hands out like this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to open his arms so much that a kid, a baby goat, could pass through there also. So much we should open our arms. But when we are in jamaat, we will cause inconvenience to the next person. So though our arms will be closed, but we should take care that the forearm does not rest on the ground. This is one important point that we had missed out. Also, that when we are in sajda, many times when going into sajda, while in sajda or coming from sajda, we lift our toes off the ground. That also we should avoid totally. The toes should be on the ground all the time. We shouldn't lift our toes away from the ground throughout the namaz. The toes should be on the ground. And perhaps Maulana Muhammad Gardi Sahib, Damat Barakatum of White River, explained to me that once he went to what Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali on a safar to Pakistan and arriving to the Ijtima, also they attended. And in that, when he was making namaz, one person explained to him that where your toe is, when you start your namaz, your toe of the right leg, it must remain there. It mustn't be moving front, back, sideways or anything. Namaz is a great ibadah, and if we do it properly, we cannot imagine what benefits we will get. For example, with regard to the present talk that we are having, looking after the eyes, fasting of the eyes, in namaz also we should fast with our eyes. That is, keep the gazes where they are supposed to be. That is, when a person is in a standing position, then his gaze should be at his sajda place. And when he goes into ruku, on his feet, the toes on his feet. And when he goes into sajda, then when ruku, the eyes should be on the feet. And then when he stands up again at sajda place, when he goes into sajda, then he should focus it on the nose. Though he cannot see his nose, and this is also, we should take a great lesson of this. Allah Ta'ala's system is so great, the eye can see the sun, which is about 150 million kilometers away. So far the sun, but the eye can see it. But the nose, which is right under the eyes, you can't see the eye. And even more sensitive than that, and more serious than that, what is in the nose, you can't see also. If there is something, everyone else can see it, but you can't see it yourself. And from there, we should take a lesson also, that when we see somebody, something in his nose, we should worry of our nose. Like that, if we step, our eyes seem to fall on somebody's fault, don't pick on that person's fault. Think, haven't I got that fault in me? Like that also, if we point a finger to somebody, that you like this, especially in an argument, you. We should realize three fingers are pointing to us. When we taking out a person's one fault, we are taking out three faults of our own. Perhaps that very same fault is within us also. And perhaps anger is also within us. Perhaps pride also is within us. That person might have one fault. And as our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, that many times a person has made tawbah of his guna, and you're still finding fault with him. That is very serious then. That person is now no more in that guna. He has made tawbah, and we are not aware of it. And we're still finding fault in that person. And that fault might be in us. And this is also a serious matter, that a fault which is in us, and we are taunting other people for correction. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That is a different thing, that you must say so that you can be corrected. Doesn't mean if you're not practicing, you don't say also. That is a double guna. To tell somebody the right thing is also our duty. And to practice upon it is also our duty. If we are not practicing, and this through that, a lot of wrong and evil has come about. For example, a father himself is a smoker. So he says, I can't tell my children not to smoke. It's a double guna he's committing. He's smoking, that is also wrong. And that he's not telling his children is also wrong. And he should tell them with the niyat that my habit can also go away. And they also don't smoke, etc. But today, many of us, we say, I can't tell anyone, I'm myself so rotten and so bad. So nobody wants to speak about the truth and the right. So in that case, evil will just flourish all the time. And don't say it also with this, that you're trying to show that you're better, that you have got that quality, or a good quality, or that you haven't got that bad quality. Don't have that attitude also. So anyway, with regard to the nose, with our eyes in sajda, we should focus on the nose. And then in a sitting position, in jalsa, qu'ud, then we should look into our lap. And when we are making salam, we should look onto our shoulders. We shouldn't look at the whole right side, all who are on the right side, who is here for namaz, who is not here, etc. And we shouldn't just turn our head very slightly like proud people. But we should turn our neck, not the chest, keep the body on its place. But the neck we should turn and try and face and look at the shoulder. And make niyat of the kiram and katibin. The two angels which are there, this is very, very important in order to rectify our namaz and to make our namaz and to make our whole life, our deen, valuable. If you will make niyat of the kiram and katibin, one is, it's only right. If you are making salam to somebody, pay attention to the person. Not that you are looking, turning, you're talking to somebody else and you are greeting somebody else. Even little children take offense to this. So we should be looking, we should pay attention. So the kiram and katibin, who are so important in our lives, and we are making them salam in every fajr time, at least twice, sunnats and faras. As zuhr time, if we make four sunnats, four faras, two sunnats, two nafils, four times we are making salam. Asr time, two times we are making salam. Maghrib again, and we don't make the niyat one time also. We all made asr namaz now. We should ask ourselves if we make niyat of the kiram and katibin. Those of us who made the four sunnats also of asr namaz, or may Allah give us tawfiq, if we are still falling short on our qaza namazes, then make our qaza namazes before asr, and especially if we are here in i'tikaf, and or we have come for our islah, our whole time is free. We can be finished with our wudu before adhan. It shouldn't happen that when other people are still coming in, then we are still going out to go toilet at that time. We have freed ourselves. So we can get enough time to make our qaza namazes also. And hopefully, inshallah, brothers have started with their qaza namazes also. Otherwise, it will be just talking all the time, a talk shop. Just talking, and we are just listening. But at least that islah of such an important thing of our life, Our qaza namazes, is that coming into our lives or not? So we should try and correct all these things. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. So anyway, so we should if we make niyat of the kiram and katibin, and we made our four faras of asr also, we made four sunnats also, we read qaza namaz also, we have got the time, then inshallah we will cover up on our qaza namazes also. And then on the niyat, there are two great benefits that we will get when we make niyat of the kiram and katibin. One is that unseen system of Allah, which supersedes and overrides the system of ours, that will come in our mind, we will become conscious of it. In fact, the whole namaz is supposed to do that. From Allahu Akbar, we should realize that there is Allah is the, not the greatest, He is the only great. There is nobody else, it's only Allah. So that Allah's existence, Allah's presence, Allah's greatness should be in front of us. And we are repeating Allahu Akbar, as we have mentioned a few times already, between 200 and 400 times a day, a person who just makes his basic namaz. And yet the greatness of Allah hasn't touched us a little bit also. That is a sad case, that if 360 days in the year, every day 200 to 400 times we are saying, and many times more we are saying it than that also. But yet, and the purpose of this was, it appears Allah knows only the true wisdom of all, He is why He has made our namaz like this. But so many times Allahu Akbar, otherwise Allah could say at other times you must say Subhanallah, other times MashaAllah, all other things also, but Allahu Akbar. Only in two places there isn't Allahu Akbar in the namaz. That is, when we lift ourselves up from ruku, we say Sami Allahu liman hamida. And when we make salam. Besides that, from the start to the end, every posture that we go into, and the first Allahu Akbar, this is also very important for us to take note of, it is farad to say the first Allahu Akbar. Otherwise, we wouldn't have started our namaz also. Our example will be like that little child who's sitting in his father's motor car in the driver's seat, and he's thinking, now he's driving, now he's taking a turn, he's putting the indicators on, he's changing the gear now, he's pressing the brakes, but he's just in one place all the time. He's gone where and where with his car, but he's just in one place. If we don't say Allahu Akbar at the beginning of namaz, we might think that I've reached the heavens also. We might think that I made my four rakats, but we hardly started our namaz. And that Allahu Akbar must be at least so audible that you yourself can hear it. And don't disturb the person next to you. We should also learn to control our volume. Not too soft also that not even the lips are moving. Not even the tongue. There are unfortunately still so many people, the whole namaz they make without the lips and the tongue moving. I'll just explain a bit on that. That is also very important. Qiraat, to recite Quran Sharif in namaz, or to recite Quran Sharif, it is necessary that the tongue and the lips must move. Mind reading or eye reading, by that namaz will not be made. How many people, we shouldn't look for faults of anyone, but if we see, and then it's necessary for us to try in the best way to try and correct the person. People read namaz with their lips sealed completely. The lips just don't move at all. They are just reading in their mind. And some people ask this question also. That is, mind reading and reading with the eyes, is that sufficient? That is not sufficient. A person reading means that the tongue and the lips must move also. So that is very, very important that we keep that in mind. So the first Allahu Akbar we say, the tongue and the lips must move also in saying that takbir, Allahu Akbar. The rest of the takbir, if we don't say them, namaz, but we should say them. And also, not only, as I said, 200-400 times, that is what we are saying. We are hearing the imam also saying Allahu Akbar. And also look at Allah's shan. Sirri namaz, zuhar, asr, quiet namaz. Second two rakats of isha, third rakat of maghrib. These namazes, also the imam doesn't read loudly, but Allahu Akbar he says loudly. So how much that Allahu Akbar should have got to us. And in every rakat Surah Fatiha is recited. How much have we paid attention to the meaning and to ingrain Surah Fatiha within us? If it is that the Imam is reading on our behalf, like the third and fourth rakat, or the whole of Zuhr Namaz, then we should ponder upon Surah Fatiha. Then without moving our tongues and our lips, for those who are Ahnaf, Hanafis, they should read in their heart and think of the meaning of Surah Fatiha. After all, there must be a reason why Allah Ta'ala has kept in every rakat Surah Fatiha. Allah could have kept Surah Ikhlas, Allah could have kept Ayatul Kursi, Allah could have kept any, but Allah kept Surah Fatiha. There must be a reason. But we just, generally, our minds don't go to what Surah Fatiha is. And in all probability, all of us know the meaning of Surah Fatiha. But we don't think of the meaning. We should try and think. Anyway, we were discussing about the eyes in namaz, that in the, let us complete that first. That one thing, if we will make niyat of the kiram and katibin, when we are making salam, then that unseen system of Allah Ta'ala, which is over and above this system. One is our system of dunya, cause and effect. You sat in your car, you started your car, you drove to where you wanted to go, you reached there. That is your car, your work, you saw the road, the directions you followed, you reached your direction. But above that is Allah's system. And if Allah does not want you to reach a place, though you can have the brand new motor car, you can be the best driver in the world, everything. But if Allah does not want you to reach, you will not reach there. In there also, we fall very short of saying, Insha'Allah. Very much, it's not in our vocabulary. Whereas it is so important. Many of us must have heard this, but a repetition, and for those who didn't hear, it's a new lesson. For those who heard, it's a repetition of the old sabak. So it is also very important. A friend met his friend and asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go and buy a horse in the marketplace. In our time, a motor car. So he told him, say inshallah. So he said, what is the need of inshallah? Because there are enough horses there where I'm going to buy. I will choose the one I want to. I've got enough money in my pocket also to pay the price. So I don't need inshallah. Everything is found. Everything is there. So he said, well, if that is your way of thinking and that's your ideas, you carry on. So they parted ways. He went. He chose the horse that he wanted. Made the price also. He put his hand in his pocket just to find that the money was stolen by somebody. A pickpocket had stolen the money and his money is gone. So now he was returning without his horse. And this other friend met him again. He asked, where is your horse? He said, inshallah, I was going to buy. Inshallah, I had money in my pocket. Inshallah, there were many horses there in the marketplace. Inshallah, I made the price. I will pay for it, inshallah. So inshallah, and we find that Nabi Ali salatu wasalam, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Allah Ta'ala told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say inshallah for every... Well, he got stopped for quite a while when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say inshallah. So Nabi Sulaiman Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, he met his 100 wives in one night. He was a Nabi who loved to enforce the law of Allah. And he wanted commanders in his army of his own family. So he wanted 100 children. But he did not say inshallah. And in fact, it comes so much in the tafsir, an angel came and reminded him, but still he forgot. After meeting with his, and Allah gave them that strength, after meeting with his 100 wives, only one child was born. And that one child also, it was deformed. It wasn't formed properly. So important is inshallah. But consider, today, one day has passed, did we hear inshallah? Did we say inshallah? For whatever we are going to do, inshallah, we should Islamicize the English language. Inshallah, subhanallah, mashallah. These things must be a part of our vocabulary. All, and it's the remembrance of Allah. Every time we say inshallah, we won't allow Qiyamah to come. Because as long as there is one person who is saying Allah, and inshallah, Allah's name is in there. it won't allow Qiyamah to come. But today, as one good friend of ours said, I'm the biggest sign of Qiyamah. Because we ourselves, we are not saying these things. So, that is one that we'll come to know, that the system of Allah, for example, the talk is going in a different direction, but whatever Allah Ta'ala wishes, a person is going to the airport, he's got his tickets, he's going for Umrah, he's got his visas, passports, the time he has arranged, he's allowed 2 hours extra in case there's traffic jam or there's a roadblock or something, whatever, he has made all the arrangement. But anything can happen, and we know it happens all the time. So we cannot be certain, don't depend on our passport, we got our passport. I got my ticket, I got everything. Don't depend on anything, depend on one Allah. And in everything we should keep Allah Ta'ala in mind. So by making niyat of these farishtas, it will build up in namaz, will build our iman also. We will know that Allah's system is above this. The other is that these farishtas who are in the ghaib, who we cannot see, then Allah Ta'ala's life of ghaib, which are things of the akhirah, that will remain come in focus. At the moment, unfortunately, we make namaz, we fulfill our duty, our faraz we fulfill, and we get zawab also, but akhirah is not in front of us. Eh? So the life of the qabr, we go, we bury people, but we only see what we are doing, we bury. But what is happening in the qabr? In the qabr right next door to this qabr, yeah, where somebody is already buried, what is happening in that qabr? Our mind doesn't go to it. While we are there, close family people, we will be discussing other things. Your pen fell out, pick it up. Your wallet fell out, pick it up. All these things we will discuss. But what is happening in the qabr? If we make our namaz and we keep in mind Qiram and Katibin, these things, then akhirat will be in front of us. When we come back from the qabr, from the qabristan, we buried our father, mother, whoever it was. Allah grant all marhumin jannat and keep them comfortable and peaceful in their qabrs. When we come home, we will discuss now things about home. The visitors who have come, we must feed the visitors. It's tea time, we must give them tea. All these things we will discuss. Who will worry what is happening to our marhum in the qabr? That one time, and it happened so far once in my lifetime, when our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali passed away, after we had just buried him and now we were throwing sand, then Hafiz Sahib's cousin from Waterfall Bowen whispered in my ear, make dua that Allah keeps our Ustad Thabit Qadam, keeps him firm, because he's being questioned now by the angels. Mar Rabbuka, Ma Deenuka, Ma Taqulu Fi Haqqi Hadha Rajul. And we know these are awliya, inshallah. But we have to have that fear, and more for ourselves. We are also going to be facing that, whether we will be able to answer there or not. And otherwise, that, as I say, what in my experience, once I heard somebody who reminded me that make dua for the marhum. But otherwise, generally, we don't think about these things. So by thinking of Qiram and Katibin, consciously, we make the niyat, these things will come in front of us. And then a person will live his life with akhirat, Qiyamah's day in front of him, with qabr in front of him. And these are important, that we have to have this consciousness. Otherwise, what will be important to us? How my bathroom is, that my shoes, how they are. The curtain, one curtain is a bit longer than the other, is a big problem. And we will be spending so much time to correct those things there. All the small things. Allahu Akbar. Maulana Muhammad Makki Sahib, the Ahmad Barakatum, who gives bayan in the Haram of Mecca. In Urdu he gives bayans. He visited us here in South Africa. One friend of ours, who was his host that time, he told me something which also made me really think. They took him, how we take all, whether it's our family, whether it's Buzurgs or anything, sightseeing, we'll take them Kruger National Park, we'll take them Durban, take them Cape Town, everywhere. They took him to the Kimberley Big Hole also. And when they showed him, they told him, we're going there. He said, you brought me just to see a hole. And so much money you have to pay for all this. And you took me right, how far we travel just to see a hole. What is a hole? But today these things have mean a lot to us. They are the main things in our life. Whereas the whole of the qabr, If these people will appreciate, you go and show them, remind them what will happen. Our friend whose niyat was to build this masjid, Marhum Saleh Faqir, Allah Ta'ala grant him higher stages in Jannah, but he did the foundation and he died suddenly at a young age of about 40 or so. He was like what we were, he was in those days when they were not millionaires, he was a millionaire. He was a very wealthy person, a steel merchant, and he should go and lie in the qabr and think, I'm dead now. And that the munkar nakir have come. In other words, he should, all these things, like that, don't underestimate, which is also part of our talk, don't look down upon people. Hey, these people, we don't know that what their darjas are by Allah Ta'ala. He was such a wealthy person, but he controlled his family. He shouldn't let them spend anything extra. Once he visited his, in a winter night, round about 9 o'clock at night, Isha is up past 7 commonly in winter, but about 9 o'clock he went to an alim friend of his, knocked on the door, and that alim friend was having hot coffee with popcorn. That is what a person looks forward to, you in your blankets, and you are having something nice, hot, and you are enjoying. And he came, and he was standing there without shoes. So he asked him, what happened? He said, I met somebody, he told me, I need a pair of shoes. So I took out mine and I gave it to him. Today we can speak of generosity and that. Who of us will do that? And then he had his underpants on. That same person or another person told him, I want a trouser. He took off his trouser and he gave it to him. These are the quality of people, and usually we think we are very pious. Just because we got a title of Maulana and Hafiz and Haji, and we are doing tabligh work, jamaat work, we are in the khanqa, but we don't know how many people out there, what their position is by Allah Ta'ala. We should not be deceived with our titles and with our outward fronts. We don't know what is inside. So anyway, so that life of the qabr, of the akhirat, by making niyat of kiram and katibin, inshallah, that reality will also come into us. And then a person's life will be different. And while I'm speaking about him, like that, he was no so great buzur, but just see what qualities. At that time, we were in the madrasa at 39 Kismet Street. There was nothing here. This was an old sports ground, this place here. And we should go to Jami Masjid when he used to visit us. I remember on a few occasions, and this is all for inspiration for us that we can take lessons. And there are great lessons in here if we want to take the lessons. We should come out of the masjid, we take a few steps towards the car. Then he would give me those days a 20 rand note, which was the highest denomination. Today 200 rand is the biggest denomination, that time 20 rand. And he should tell me, give this to the muazzin. He called me to the house of Allah. His appreciation. And then we take another few steps, he would give me another 20 rand. He said, put it in the masjid collection box. I flushed the toilet. I used so much of water. And then I made wudu. And today our wudu, how much of water we know we not use, we waste so much of water. Allah reward Maulana Yusuf Mutala of UK. He has made the mud, about 750 milligram of water in there, in which you can make your whole wudu. And today we use about so much just to adjust the tap, to get the temperature right. About so much water is being used. So Allah Ta'ala, and yet we think that I make wuzu, I make the mask. We don't know whether we're going to be taken to task for wastage in water in there. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy, but Allah is very, very merciful, most kind. And we cannot imagine the mercy of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah's mercy, I'll again digress here a little bit, but it is important that we understand the mercy of Allah Ta'ala also. One time, Dhannun Misri, Rahmatullah Ali, was at the river bank, and he saw a scorpion coming to the water, and just then a frog also came. Just like we order a taxi, we make an arrangement, taxi must come to pick me up at 3 o'clock, I want to go to the airport. So you walk out of your house 3 o'clock, taxi also pitches up 3 o'clock, you sit in your car, you go away. Just like that. And that frog took off with a speed, and it went away. And he followed, it was such that he could follow. He saw it came to the other side, and Abba, just like a taxi, it dropped him there, and the scorpion went on. And it went into the woods, into the jungle. And there he found that there was the prince, a young man, and who was drunk. He had drank liquor, and all foam coming out from his mouth, and all the flies are there, and he's lying in the wood. And there was a very, very poisonous snake over him, about to bite him. And just then, the scorpion reached in time to bite the snake, killed him, and stepped out all the poison also. So he got a shock of his life, all this. And for a person like this, he made dua to Allah, "Ya Allah, what is all this what I'm seeing?" Allah put in his heart, "Oh Zannun, if we only look after the pious, who will look after the sinners?" So Allah Ta'ala is that merciful being who looks after everyone. And he gives us all ample chance over and over. We should not, like the Quran mentions, Quran Sharif mentions many places in the Quran Sharif, that the kuffar, they should ask, that when will the azab of Allah come? Many places. So Allah says, that Allah is giving you respite so that you can make tawbah, so that you can reflect on your past and you make tawbah. So Allah Ta'ala gives us how much chance in our lives that we make tawbah. So we shouldn't take advantage of it. We shouldn't abuse the mercy and the kindness of Allah Ta'ala. We should turn towards tawbah. So this, the making niyat of the kiram and katibin, we'll remember all that also. We'll remember our akhirat. And we'll remember in this world there is this unseen system of Allah working, and we won't think I'm the God and I'm the creator of my actions. But there is another being who creates my actions and who is in charge of everything. And our whole namaz, if we will make it like that, how much won't we have the consciousness of Allah, the presence of Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, all this I explained at one time here in the masjid on a wedding occasion to one person, just to show that the eyes, the control of the eyes, that how valuable it is. They asked me to give a little talk on that nikah occasion, and Allah knows alone, like now, why all these talks have come in, only Allah knows. And inshallah, well, we do try to remember and make dua that, "Ya Allah, whatever we speak, let it be only beneficial for every individual who sits here. Let the talks be beneficial for every individual." So that is a niyat we make, which we learn from our kabir and our buzurgs. So anyway, there I spoke about the way you should keep your eyes in namaz. After about 2 months, one person who is still alive and make dua, he's very old now, also sickly, and make dua for all the people, all the Muslims especially, all who are sickly and in old age, difficult times the person goes through. So at that time you're still young. He phoned me and he said that what you spoke there, that if you learn to control, keep your eyes where they're supposed to be in namaz, which is a mustahab of namaz, then your eyes outside namaz will be also under control. He said, "I was one who suffered from this disease. I just could not control my eyes. Looking at other women all the time on the road, wherever it is. All the time. And today we can't control our eyes. There are no women in the masjid. But on the cell phone, we are not controlling ourselves. And whether we are looking at filth and dirt porn, or whether we are just looking at a film, or whether we are looking at the news reader, whatever it is, we are not allowed. And in the masjid, it is even worse. But anyway, those days were no cell phones, and all this filth and dirt, perhaps TV you would go and see, but not all these things. A video you'll go and look. So anyway, he told, "I suffered from this, and it was bugging me, it was bothering me. I wanted to get out of there, I wanted to kick this habit, but I just couldn't." And he was sincere, he had taqwa also in him. He feared Allah Ta'ala. For that he said, "I made a second nikah, that will solve my problem." But he said the problem persisted. But he says, "Since I practiced this in my namaz, Allah has given me 100% control over my eyes. Now I don't look at other women." So if namaz, a mustahab of namaz, can deliver so much, if the whole namaz, which Allah says, "Aqimu salah, qad aflaha al-mu'minun, alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un," then everything will come right. Problem that many of us are having, we are addicted to the cell phone. We are addicted to all the filth and dirt and the films and whatever videos and whatever things they are. and you don't know what you type in at Google, and you don't know what comes up there. All these things here, if we learn to make our namaz correctly, inshallah, Allah will save us even from there. So in namaz, that is also one thing. Please try that we control our eyes. That when we are in a standing position, and it takes effort, it's not easy. Otherwise, your gaze starts moving around. You are worried more about other people than what you are worried about yourself. And in sajda, mainly, mostly, a person closes his eyes. Whereas the whole namaz, eyes should stay open. They should not be closed. Even for concentration, concentrate with your eyes open. Not with your eyes closed. With your eyes open, concentrate and have devotion in our namaz. So, if our namaz is corrected, then inshaAllah, a person, like the same example we give over and over, a person is suffering from diabetes, for example, blood pressure, whatever else it might be, because of diabetes, he finds that he's lacking strength, he's feeling very weak. By the time the afternoon comes, I am feeling very, very weak. He finds his eyes are failing him. He just can't see properly. A small little knock, a little wound, and he just doesn't want to heal because of diabetes, a silent killer, diabetes. But if he gets the treatment of it, and now he's treated and he feels well, he says, now I'm feeling as a new person completely. I'm feeling like a young man, and I'm feeling very well. Like that one spiritual illness of ours, if it gets treated, a person will say, I feel like a jannati in this dunya. And that is what our buzurgs said. They came to this position. How our shaykh had trained us on one occasion. I slipped out of my tongue and I told Hazrat, you have given us the taste of jannat in dunya. Hazrat said, this is what I want. That is my object. And he called everyone in the khanka and he said, repeat what you told again. He says, this will come when deen will come into our lives. Not that we talk deen. Not that we hear deen. But that our deen, and one of the most important, inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the most important thing according to me is your namaz. So if we correct our namaz like this, so in namaz our eyes also. So we spoke yesterday also about looking after the eyes. It comes in the hadith sharif that la'anallahu an-nadhir wal-manzur ilayh. Allah's la'anat curses are on that person. That person is removed from the mercy of Allah, who looks at another haram, whether it's a woman, a man, or that person presents himself to be looked at. Today how women dress, they want attention. Women don't really want that. You don't ever dare try and interfere with a woman. She'll go and riposte you for molesting, for sexual abuse, for whatever. All they want is admiration. You must admire them. And that is what has been made haram. Don't admire women. Don't look at other women. This is made haram. And they dress in that way to draw your eyes and that you must look at them. And if you have to tell her, you're so well dressed, she'll say thanks for the compliment. That is what they want. Your hairstyle is like this. The perfume you're wearing is like this. That is all they want. And this is what Shariat has, Shari'a alayhi salatu wasalam, has made totally haram. And this, that when you are looking at that, you are looking at haram. And you are looking, the fire of Jahannam is enveloping you at that time. And you enjoying. How can that person, what type of a person is that? It comes in the hadith sharif, that a nazro sahmum min sihami iblis masmum, that the eye is an arrow of the arrows of shaitan, which is very poisonous. It's a very, very poisonous arrow. It can cause total havoc and destruction for deen, dunya and akhirat. Total havoc it can cause the eye. Man tarakahu makhafati, a person who desires to look. And this is the test, that you want to look at that woman. Your own wife may be so beautiful, but you are not attracted to look at her. But another woman is hardly beautiful. She's got really nothing, but shaitan makes her look beautiful in your eyes. And you're looking at her, but you give it up for the fear of Allah. تَرَكَهُ مَخَافَتِي أَبْدَلْتُهُ. Allah says, I myself, I change now. And in return, you sacrificed your desire to look at that other woman. And you didn't look. And in my fear, you didn't look. I will change now. And in return, I will give you أَبْدَلْتُهُ حَلَاوَةً يَجِدُ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ يَجِدُهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. He will find the sweetness of Iman in his heart. Like this, the sweetness of sugar, honey, sugar cane, we get from the tongue. And it's only on the 3-4 centimeter tongue. The minute it's gone down, now it's going to cause you illness. It's going to cause your weight to go up. It's going to cause your blood, your sugar level to go up. But this sweetness, Allah puts it in your heart. And Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali says, "Man wajada halawat al-Iman," a person who finds the sweetness of Iman, it will remain forever in his heart. So this is, and this, we should not be worried. May Allah reward our Shaykh over and over. He said in this today's romantic world, the whole world is filled only with romance and romantic stories and all that. Films are made on this. What and what is done on this? All just on this. He says, don't get frightened about this. When all this is here and there is a whole lot of women wherever they are, so then this is where the certificates of Jannat, entry certificates of Jannat are being dished out. That you are going to get halawat al-Iman. All you have to do is just cast your gazes low. That's all you have to do. And it is within your power. Don't also think that I can't do it. The cell phone, wallah, it is in your power not to look at filth and dirt, to use it in the right way. And whether it is woman on the road, whoever it is, wherever it is, if it was, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah has only made us responsible for that which we can do. On the day of Qiyamah, Shaitan will give a bayan. And he'll say that, I did not force you to do anything. I only invited you, made it look nice for you. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So don't blame me now. And don't find fault with me now. You blame yourself. You could have avoided it. So then this, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, Allah's great favor and ihsan upon us, that Allah cut off a big, big problem from the root. He just made the looking haram. This is where everything else starts. Then now your mind starts planning. Now you want to talk to that woman. Now you want to listen to her. Now you want to walk towards her. All that starts from the look. So Allah Ta'ala has been very kind that He made just the looking haram. And it just needs, and this is the month of Ramadan. And this is why we are here. Make this effort. And in this month, now today, as we said yesterday, we who are here in the masjid, there are no women. But see how Shaitan is worked. There are people who are, the blanket is over or the sheet is over, but the cell phone is on also. A person can't get treatment like that. One good friend of ours who was also an acute diabetic, he has passed away. Allah grant all Jannat. Once he had to be hospitalized because his sugar levels were so high. When he was hospitalized, they treated him under strict supervision in the hospital. What he's eating and his medication, he must be taking it, made sure that he takes his medication. But his condition defied all theories of the doctors of diabetics of the world. It defied them all. The more medication, the more control of everything, and his sugar levels going up. Till when the nurse found some chocolate wrappers under his pillow. When he's pulling the blanket over, he's busy eating chocolates. He's taking medication also, insulin also, everything, but he's eating chocolates also. So how can he come right? So we are here in Etikaf, our family is happy. My brother is gone, my father is gone 40 days, my son is gone, and here we are. But when we're on our own, we are still looking at the cell phone. Now, how is our treatment going to take place? In that case, our treatment won't take place. We'll become worse. And then we will say, I went Khanka 40 days, I went Jamaat 40 days, I didn't benefit. Jamaat also we go, it's a problem there. Maulana Saad is so worried about it. He says, we can't sit and make one mashura. Well, we are like frogs now. If you want to weigh frogs in a pan, it's almost impossible. Four or five frogs, the minute you got three in, the two jump out. You put another two in, another two jump out. You just can't. He say all the time, well, this person is jumping, going in this corner and talking. That person is jumping up and going in that corner. Today, this is, it has destroyed us completely. These are all the clear signs of Dajjal. And when Dajjal comes, it is clearly mentioned that men who want to save their woman will have to fasten their woman folk with iron chains. Otherwise the temptation, that magnet force of Dajjal will be so such. When we were small, unfortunately we heard, but take at least good lessons even from bad things, the Pied Piper of Hamelin. That when he went and how all the rats came out and just joined. They were just like magnet they were pulled. When the Dajjal will come, that will be the case. And now already the introduction of the Dajjal, and see who is there who can save himself from all this filth. Very, very few people. Allah Ta'ala save us only with His fazl. Otherwise a person gets involved. Good people get involved. And running up huge accounts on this year. And destroying themselves completely. And with this year, a person falls off to sleep. What is the sleep then? Allahu Akbar. Like we read that about in the kitab after Zuhar. A person who takes a loan and he hasn't got intention of paying it back, how severe that is. Like that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should ask for his own sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Has he got a loan? If he's got a loan, he shouldn't perform. And he should say, my namaz will not help him if he's got a loan on him. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's namaz, what barakah. And what maqam of it by Allah Ta'ala. But he said, my namaz won't help. So if we have come for i'tikaf, and we are involved in all, and the other thing which we will come to, this talking about amongst ourselves, and this looking at this filth on this cell phone, and those of us who are in the outside world, and other women, this 1 month train ourselves. And especially those make shukr, who have given 40 days, and 40 days a habit becomes strong and it stays with a person. You will be surprised that I was a person, I just couldn't help but look at how these 40 days have changed me. That now I have got no desire to look whatsoever. Now in fact sin has become abhorrent to me. I hate it, looking at other women. And then another, this talk cannot come to an end. But just then you will see your own wife will appear to be so beautiful to you. But at the moment, your wife has got no appeal in it. Because you're looking at other women. The one of the cash punishments Allah gives, that your own wife doesn't look beautiful to you. And other women who are not beautiful at all, what a height of stupidity that they appear very beautiful to you. And your own wife doesn't look beautiful. So may Allah let us keep roza of the eyes also. There is still a lot to be said and it cannot be completed. But so much is more than enough for those of us who want to take lesson. May Allah give me and us all tawfiq that every part of the body we keep our rozas for this month and get the fruit of it. And then see inshallah how Eid will come to such a person and what his qabr will be. Just gardens of roses. What are roses? Nothing. What enjoyment that person will get. Just a little bit of effort for a little while. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.